America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
FM. This is Geeks Card with your girl, Adobia Brichum. We are in the month of March, and one of the things that stands out in the month of March is the International Women's Day. Yes, and another outstanding thing for Joy FM is the Ghana month. And just as Evan said, you can just watch me live on YouTube or on Facebook at Joy 99.7 FM. You can just hop on there and see what's happening in the studio. Because we are in the month of March and we will be celebrating the International Women's Day with the theme for the year, Inspire Inclusion, we'll be having an interesting conversation this evening. We have women doing amazing things in the tech industry, and this evening I will be having a conversation with one who has broken barriers. She is going to be sharing her journey with us so that you would be inspired. If you have a sister, a daughter, a friend, any woman around you, or even males, you can also get inspired. But before we get into our conversation, we would like to share with you what is happening in the tech space. So why not take a listen to the emerging tech trends? We will be right back.
Hello there, and welcome to Emerging Tech Trends on Joy Geek Squad. In today's trends, WhatsApp adds new text formatting options to improve messaging. Apple launches Apple Sports app with scores and betting odds. Samsung phone series to get AI features in late March. And finally, Ghana implements ECOWAS free roaming initiative with Côte d'Ivoire. Now let's settle for the details. WhatsApp now has new text formatting features that include bulleted and numbered list, block quotes, and inline code. This allows users to organize and highlight their messages, making it easier to read and break down large sections of text. Apple has launched a new Sports app for Apple users. The Apple Sports app gives users a centralized platform to check scores, team stats, betting odds, and more across several major sports leagues. The app supports NBA, NHL, NCAA, Premier League, Bundesliga, La Liga, Liga MX, League One, Serie A, and other several leagues. Samsung is bringing Galaxy AI features to its S23 series, foldables, and tablets as part of the One UI 6.1 update. This is a free service. However, after 2025, there might be a charge. Finally, Ghana has entered a bilateral discussion with Côte d'Ivoire to implement ECOWAS's first free roaming services. Speaking with the media, the Minister for Communications and Digitalization mentioned that the initiative simply means that Ghanaian subscribers of any network in Ghana visiting Côte d'Ivoire will receive calls without paying any international roaming charges and will be charged the Côte d'Ivoire local rate while making calls to Ghana from Côte d'Ivoire and vice versa. That's it for this week's Emerging Tech Trends on Joy Geek Squad. Catch you same time next week.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion. Like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life. Prove I'm alright, song.
Welcome back. This is Geek Squad with your girl Adobia Brichum. Just before we went to listen to the emerging tech trends, I mentioned that this week we will be celebrating the International Women's Day, and we want to be just sharing something about women doing amazing things in the tech industry. I'm very excited because of the conversation we are going to have, because I'm going to have this conversation with a personal person. And we will be talking about how she as a person has broken the barriers, her journey to the top of the tech industry. I'll be having the conversation with an entrepreneur. She is also a CSU technology executive and a consultant. She is in the pressing of Anne Nuchuklu. Anne, you're welcome.
Thank you so much, Sen. Thank you so much. Honored to be here.
Joining me this evening on the program. I think one of the things that we have found just amazing is how we have a lot of women now in the tech industry. Mm-hmm. And we have seen that most of them are doing amazing things. We want mm-hmm. to inspire others. That's the aim for just throwing more light on what has been done. But before we do that, we just want to find out, who is Anne in the first place? If you can tell us a background about yourself, we get to know you more, and then we get into the conversation.
Okay, so as you said, I'm a software entrepreneur. Over the years, what has become my passion is turning ideas into things that people can use and things that can impact people. So that is the journey I have been through for my life. And of course, I'm a woman, I'm married, and I have kids. So that, I think, is a summary of who I am.
Okay. So what was growing up like for you?
Growing up, I think it was normal. It was normal for me. So went through the same primary JSS, and then in SS I did science. So that is what I did in SS, and I think that is where my love for technology started from. So growing up, I also liked a lot of puzzles and Lego, those kind of things that help you to build stuff. That is what I was mostly interested in. And interestingly, I loved math more than any other subject in school. I thought it was more straightforward, like 1 + 1 = 2. You can't change that. But if I write an essay, you can decide whether you like it or not. So I fell in love with math because, in my view, it was more straightforward for me. And I think it continued throughout my journey.
Okay, so you mentioned that's what developed your love for tech. So let me just ask you, what excites you about technology?
I think the main thing is how innovative you can be in the tech space. Tech is never stagnant, so it's never boring. So in times past, the internet was the biggest thing, and now it's kind of the basics. Is no longer the wow thing right now. Now we are talking about AI and blockchain and all that. So I really love tech because it is innovative, it's never boring, and there's always something new happening and something to learn.
There's always something new happening. That's just so true, because we are all just trying so hard to just keep the pace with what's happening in the tech industry. So with this said, can you just take us through how your tech journey began? Can you just walk us through up to where you are right now?
Okay, let me start from the beginning. So that would be in my SS days. So as I said earlier, I love math. And that was when I also got introduced to the computer through the school's computer lab. And that is when we set up the Yahoo Mails with some weird names, we all wanted to sound fancy in our email addresses.
I remember that.
And now we don't even want to know. We don't even want people to see that email address again. Yeah, so that was when I set up my first email address. I used to spend a lot of time in the computer lab. But, you know, in Ghana, as a science student who has some good grades, everybody expects you to be a doctor.
Yes.
So in my mind, I didn't really know what I wanted to be. All I knew was I loved math more than I would love biology. But of course, everybody, including teachers and parents, assumed that you are going to be a doctor. And the other thing too is people want to be able to describe what you want to do. So if you are not going to be a doctor, then the next thing that can be described is an engineer at that time.
Okay.
So then in my mind, because I love math, then that would be an option that I will look at. So when it got to the chance to do engineering, I didn't know what computer engineering was, but I just love computers. And I knew math was related to engineering, so I went to do computer engineering in school without knowing what exactly it was. Yeah, I just chose that. So in school, it wasn't so much of what was being taught in school, but the community that was there. We had some seniors who took us through web development, the basics, HTML, CSS. So it kind of gave us some idea of what it means to develop software at that time. And then from school, in school, before I completed, there was this opportunity to join NEST, which was a program for software entrepreneurship. So we had software, and it felt good that the story was you could have something, like you could build a company. So I ended up going there, and there I sharpened my programming skills and my business and entrepreneurship skill. Started my first company, started another company, and this is the third company I've co-founded. So that has been my journey so far.
Interesting. I think we'll be getting into the whole starting of the companies, but for someone listening to us, you mentioned that you did science in school. And then also, you didn't really know what to do, but you chose to do computer engineering. Were there some specific people in your life that played a role? Because it was one of the conversations we had, I think, about 2 weeks back, how parents can even play a role when it comes to the selection of programs that their wards do in school. Was there any role model you probably looked up to, or anyone in particular who helped you or guided you into making this decision?
So I would say for engineering, it was more of my math teacher at that time.
Okay.
Who saw that because I was good in math, I could do engineering. But as I said, everybody else expected me to be a doctor. Everybody.
Including your parents.
Yes, everybody else. So, but because of my love for math, that was the choice I had in mind. But in terms of support, my parents might not have understood. I didn't even understand to explain it to them anyway. So they might not have understood, but at least what they had at the back of their mind was, if I had set up my mind to do something, I'll do my best. So they gave me the chance. They might not have understood it, but for any support I needed, at least from their understanding, even though it was very little, they were ready to give me that. So in terms of choosing the course, even though they didn't understand, and at least they understand what engineering is like. You are an engineer. If you are not a doctor, you are an engineer. But as to the specifics of whether it should be civil, computer, mechanical, I just took that up and decided to do the computer engineering at that time.
Interesting. That is just good to hear that they just chose to believe you or trust in you that you could just go ahead and do what you had put your mind to. So just for someone listening, the parents, what would be the advice that you like to give such a person, like if they find themselves in the position that your parents did, where you wanted to do a course that they didn't really want, probably they wanted you to be a doctor, what is the feedback that you're going to give such a person that they can use to support their world?
What I would say is, as my parents did, if your ward is interested in something and is putting in the efforts, I always say that whatever you do in this life, you can be successful. I think most of the parents have this fear that you go do something and you cannot fend for yourself. I think that is the underlying fear that a lot of them have. So they want to make sure that you are going into an occupation that at least can help you look after yourself and you not be stranded. But I always say that if you find something to do and you do the best at it, you are going to make money out of it. Now it's becoming more evident in our country where maybe at first people like even hairdressers were just the uneducated, or people who sell food where they're uneducated, but now you see a lot of people going into that sector even after going to school and going to university and all that. So I think that is also catching up. So whatever your ward wants to do that you see has interest in and is doing well at, give them the support and push them, help them to get the right mentors. If you don't understand the area they want to go into, you can get some people that are in that area to help you as a parent understand and also to guide your ward so that they can take the right path to the career journey they have chosen.
So for any parent or guardian, the key thing is that you support your child in whatever endeavor they want to take. You guide them as much as possible, but then you provide the necessary support that they need, definitely. You spoke about starting some companies. You spoke about the first, and then you moved on to the second, and then you moved on to the third. Can you share with us your journey starting up these companies, some highs, some lows, for someone who is listening and has said, this year, 2024, me, I'm going to start my company. What are some of the things that you can share with us?
I think all the companies had their own differences and challenges, I would say. So for the first company, I started that straight out of MEST. So there was some support from the MEST program and all the three of us co-founders. So I had two other co-founders, Michael and Eddie, and we started Nandi Mobile together. So the first few days, it was straight out of school. It's basically straight out of school when you're starting a company. So we didn't know a lot of things. There was a lot of learning, a lot of mistakes, but we just kept on. All we had was our passion that we really wanted to start these software companies. And we did even win some awards with the company.
What services were you providing?
So what we were doing was, at that time, we were trying to bridge the communication gap between consumers and businesses. Okay. So what we had was an XMS line that could serve as a customer support line. So instead of calling and being kept on hold, you can send SMSs and chats. That was at that time. Now WhatsApp has wiped that off. So that means it's no longer relevant, because now there are a lot of, there's Facebook, there's WhatsApp and all that to do that. But that was our idea of trying to bridge the gap between consumers and businesses. And at that time, SMS was the way to go at that time. So that's what we were doing.
Okay. So that was the first company. Can you share with us, were there specific challenges that you faced? Were you like the only female? I just want to have some more insights to that.
So for the whole next class of 20, I was the only female. That was in that program for that year. So definitely in starting a company, you choose co-founders from your class. So I was the only female and I had two males. But interestingly, I was the tech person of the group. So I was the CTO of the group. And along the line, I had to also become the CEO of the group. So I was the CEO and CTO of the company at that time. And for the challenges as a company, I think is in strategizing so that you stay relevant in the market. And the other thing is, I think for most tech companies in Ghana is funding, right? Yeah. Because we don't have a lot of patient capital in Ghana. People want to invest and reap immediately. But if you look at most of the tech companies, even for Facebook, they took about 4 or 5 years before they became profitable. Twitter even took longer. But in Ghana, the people who have the money to invest don't have patience for that. So funding, so after Mess gave us a seed fund, and after that it was very difficult getting any other source of funding, because at some point we were able to become cash flow positive. And the other thing too is, as I said, we were young, so sometimes people were not taking us seriously when we were pitching to them. For me, for example, it was even worse because I was young and I was a female. We could go for meetings and I'm presenting something tech, and when it comes to question time, they look over me and they're asking the guys, but I am the tech person in the group, so, and I'm the one who presented. Why are you looking over me to ask the other guy the question? So being taken seriously was also a big problem. Like, you three young people, what do you think you can do in tech that I would rather use a bigger company to do, and all sorts of things. So it was, those were the challenges for that company at that time.
So just with the example you gave, sometimes you go and give presentations and they will be rather looking at the males to give response. How did you handle such things? Because there's probably someone listening and they maybe even find themselves in such positions. They are probably the only female in their companies, tech industry, and that is likely still to be happening. How do we handle such situations?
I think in such situations, you know, you're the one going to answer the questions, and most of the time it does come back to me. And I think the males too have to give the females the space. So if you know you're not a tech person, don't start answering the question. If you know it's a female supposed to answer, direct the person back to the person who is the female who is supposed to answer that question. So that's what happened most of the time, that the people just explain everything and they have to actually kind of re-ask their question again and direct it to the right person, because we all had our roles to play in the company, and that was my role in the company. So if you had a question in that angle, then you have to talk to me. And I, for the females, I would say don't take it too personal. It might happen a few times, but after a while, people tend to know who you are, especially after you've been able to prove yourself. They're able to now look at you and say, okay, even though that is in quotes not fair, that at least you should be accepted in the first place. But sometimes it might not happen, but I think we should learn not to take it personal, and we should always be able to speak up, even if people are looking over us, to the other person to answer questions like that.
I think that's the thing sometimes, being able to speak up, because some females are very intelligent, but then it's like they feel in a way overshadowed. Like the guys or the males will just go ahead, raise their hands, like you said. They know very well that you are the CTO. The questions are supposed to be directed to you, but they would even start answering the questions before finally it will end up coming to you. We would have to learn that kind of confidence as females, and our males also would have to inspire inclusion. And I think that's the theme for this year's International Women's Day, to inspire inclusion by also giving the space for women to also shine. And we would also have to prove ourselves, like you said. It's not like you're just given a seat at the top because we just want a woman to be at the top, but mainly because you have actually broken the barriers and have gotten to that place. So with this said, are there specific lessons that you'd say you took from starting the companies that you mentioned you started?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of lessons that I've learned. One of them is very related to me as a tech person, that you do not sit in your corner and maybe based on some new technology. Now we have AI, go and develop some products and think because you like it, everybody should like it. Most of the time, it doesn't work. It's more do what the people want or what your users want. So it's very important as a tech person to always reach out, get people to, if you have something they can test with, get people to test what you are doing, use what you are doing, get feedback from them, explain your concept or your idea to people, let them dissect the idea so that at least you also get to make it better, so that when you build a product, it's something that works on the market, so that you don't build products that are just technologically nice and no one is ready to use it, because at the end of the day, you want people to use what you have developed. Now, the second lesson I have learned is people. So when you start up, after a while, you need people to join. And even in choosing co-founders, you choose people who complement you. Sometimes they may not act like you or be like you, but as I said, compliments. So you are not something, but you get a co-founder who can compliment you or make up for the other side that you are not very good at. So you don't go choosing people who are just like you. And in that case, the company suffers. But you have to take people who complement you, who can add up either in your temperament or in your skill sets. So for me, for my first company, for example, we were three. There was one person who was a user experience, very user experience oriented. There was a business oriented person, and I was a tech person. So look for people who complement you in choosing and in hiring, to get people who have passion for what you are going to make them work on. So, for example, if someone wants to build the next, I'm just using this as an example, the next Facebook, and you are building a payment company, from the interviews and the way you talk to them, learn how to get if this is the right fit for the company, also for your culture. That's also important. And also for what they are going to work on. Do they have the idea? Because as a startup, that's one of the main challenges, if I haven't mentioned it. You need people to work, but you might not have the money to pay the most experienced person to come and work for you. So you have to know how to balance, how to get people who are passionate, who might not be so worried about the money at that moment. But of course, later on, you have to sort them out. But at that moment, if they are passionate about your idea and they are willing to work on the idea, then it's more likely that you might be able to get them to help you on your process. I think those are some of the things that I can touch on.
Interesting. So someone may have the idea, may have the vision, but now it's about paying the person to execute that for you. Mm-hmm. And like you said, some people want to put in the money, but they expect the harvest the following day. They don't want to wait for the time for the harvest to get ready. So definitely you have to see how best to balance it as if you are starting a business. I know that you are a C-suite technology executive. And one of the things that I know is you have broken the barrier in a way, because we have some people, whether male or female, they find themselves doing tech. They are in the industry, but they are just so technical. They don't end up really growing into becoming executives at any point in time. Can you just touch on this for us, for someone who is probably admiring you and saying, I would like to do this for myself, whether male or female. What are some of the things that they can do and end up becoming an executive?
So I've mentioned one of the main things. As tech people, sometimes we like staying in our corner and just building stuff. But when you build stuff, it's people that use it. And to become an executive, it means you have to learn how to communicate one with customers, like seeing stakeholders, which could be your customers, your partners, the people you even work with. And you should be able to sell an idea to people or any stakeholder at all that comes your way. So you would have to come out of your way to learn that kind of skill. That is a kind of soft skill that you need to learn to become an executive. So you need to get out, start a small project, interview your friends. What does this is what I'm thinking about. What do you think I can do about it? That's a small way of starting up. Stakeholder management. Okay, I need this and this for it to come together. And it's not just about technology. How are you approaching those people? Or how are you convincing or selling your idea to those people so that they can also come on board? So I think it needs some soft kind of skills to work on, and it takes time, and you might not get to it overnight. I've learned it. I think for my first company, as I said, I was actually pushed into becoming the CEO, and I didn't want to be. But from that, I've learned that, okay, you have to sell your idea to this person, whether you like it or not. So over time, I've learned to do that. And that has helped me to come out of just being in my small tech space, implementing things and writing code, to being able to become an executive who can also sell the idea to stakeholders.
Okay. So we need to develop that good communication skills and also some soft skills that can help us sell our ideas if we want to grow into becoming an executive and not just doing our tech things and remaining in our own space where we are comfortable. Definitely, we would have to be doing that. This is Geeks Card with Adobia Richum. We've been having a conversation on how women are breaking barriers. And this evening, I've been speaking to Anne Nuchuklo. And so far, she has shared with us her journey through the tech industry, how she grew her own businesses, three of them, co-founded some with other partners. And then now she becoming a C-suite technology executive. We will be getting into some more details because I believe for you listening to us, for your friend, for your sister, for your daughter, probably you are looking at letting them start a career in tech. And we'll be getting into some more discussion as to how she has broken the barriers and how she is inspiring all of us to even follow suit. Before we get into more details, stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
There you are, about to enjoy the deep fried soft spicy kiliwili you bought from Akwili at Osu Night Market. Suddenly you see your daughter's name on the paper used to wrap the kiliwili, and that's when you realize it's the CV she submitted for a job last week. The job market is changing rapidly. AI, clouds, holograms, who knows what's next? Approximately 120,000 tertiary students graduate every year. What makes your child stand out? Get your child the X Factor to get ahead with tech courses from ALX. Choose AWS Cloud Computing, Salesforce Administration, Data Analytics, Data Science, Front-End Web Development, Back-End Web Development, or AI Career Essentials. Search ALX Ghana online to apply now. ALX, do hard things.
Get ready for the cybersecurity event of the year. The 2024 edition of the CISO Summit is back, bringing together cybersecurity leaders, IT professionals, CISOs, experts, and innovators from Ghana and beyond. Join us at the CISO Summit, where we dive deep into the latest trends, challenges, and strategies in cybersecurity. It's not just a conference. It's a gathering of minds to address evolving cyber threats, develop robust security strategies, and promote information sharing. This event will be happening live on the 27th and 28th of March at the Labadi Beach Hotel. Don't miss expert insights, innovative showcases, interactive sessions, and networking opportunities. The rate is a cool 4,000 Ghana cedis for regular and 3,800 for early bird, valid till 23rd February 2024. Secure your spots now. Visit thecisosummit.com or call 0572-760-472. Be part of the cybersecurity revolution.
Imagine strutting into the most anticipated wedding of the year, only to see seven other girls wearing your exact same outfit.
You are special and one of a kind, and that's why whether it's voice, data or SMS, you get to enjoy personalized offers tailored to your specific needs with MTN Just For You. Dial *141# or select your options on the MyMTN app to redeem your unique Just For You package on Ghana's best mobile network. MTN,
like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say, wrecking ball.
Welcome back. This is Geek Squad with your girl Adobia Brichum. CISO Summit is happening this year, 2024. It is the cybersecurity event, and CISO Summit is back uniting cybersecurity leaders, IT professionals, CISOs, and innovators from Ghana and beyond. In the summit, we will dive into trends, challenges, and strategies in cybersecurity. You join us on March 27th and 28th at the Labadi Beach Hotel. Don't miss. Expect insights, innovations, showcases, and networking opportunities. The rate is 4,000 Ghana cedis. Group discounts are available. You can secure your seat at www.thecisosummit.com. www.thecisosummit. The CISO Summit is thecisosummit.com, or you can call the number 057-2760-472. Be part of the cybersecurity revolution, and I'll be moderating for this summit, so just get ready and join us there on the 27th and 28th at the Labadi Beach Hotel. Geek Squad is brought to you by MTN. MTN, everywhere you go. This evening, we have been inspiring ourselves with the journey of a woman who has made it to the top of the tech industry, breaking barriers. And I have been having the conversation with Anne Nuchuklu. And so far, she has shared her journey, how she began, and how she started her companies. Now, we are going to be getting into some more details, because for somebody listening, I'm sure that they probably have some questions on their minds. We've already received some messages. You can also send through your question or message on the WhatsApp number 055-1111-997. 055-1111-997. We have a message from Gideon Amegavi. Gideon says, Anne is indeed an inspiration. Kudos to her for the great footsteps. Yes, she is. Thank you so much, Gideon. And we also have another message. Says, hello, Geek Squad. Great listening to your program. Listening to your program with a young lady reading cybersecurity at the university but had questions. Great, great conversations tonight. Okay, you can send through your questions and then we'll see how best we can help the young lady you are listening to the show with. So now we are coming back to our guest for the evening, and we just want to get into this. So with the different things that we have shared so far, and would just like to find out from you, are there specific things that you wish you had known or done earlier before venturing into tech?
Okay, if it is just into tech, not really. But I think venturing into starting a company, I might have wanted to work a bit, because technically I didn't work in any corporate institution before starting my own company. So I would have wanted, even though it was fun learning it the hard way anyway, it also had its own perks and benefits, but it would also have been faster if I had maybe worked in a company before starting my own. But in terms of tech, I don't think there's anything that I would have wished to know. I just knew it was new and it was going to be challenging. But what I also learned along the journey is what's so interesting about tech is you might not need to have gone to school. Now we have a lot of people who didn't even do anything, computer engineering or computer science, and are writing good code. It's one of the things that you can self-learn. And for me, for example, most of the things that I know how to do were not things that I learned in school. They are things that I myself have applied myself and learned online through videos and tutorials and courses. Now there are even a lot of courses online that you can learn from. And also, if you have any problem, you get stuck at any point in time, there are also a lot of forums where you can go and get your questions answered. So I think for me, maybe that if that was told me earlier, even though I realized it a bit early, that tech is not so much about what you learn in school, because it's even changing. So even if you completed school last 2 years, it's possible if even the teachers were so updated, you might still be outdated, because tech moves very fast and you need to learn by yourself the new things that come.
Definitely, we need to be on our toes, because every new day there's something new that is coming. And if you are just not keeping yourself busy by learning the new things, then before you know it, you are there and you will become obsolete. So that is just so true. And I like what you said in your submission, that some of the things you had to learn on your own, sometimes YouTube videos, sometimes some courses. It's one of the things that Geek Squad, we have been advocating in this year 2024, that for anyone listening to us, you can learn something new, especially related to tech, because sometimes people have the notion that it's difficult. But if it's just a day, 5 minutes, that today I want to learn something new, definitely people can put their minds to it and they can become, you know, more interested in tech related items, and they can even learn a skill or two over there. So it's great that you have even indicated that you did computer engineering in school, but that is not really what you even used at work. You had to be learning on the job, learning some things the hard way, and also learning some things through the different videos that you watched online. So for someone listening to us, and probably in the position that you are in, we find ourselves in a space where we have a lot of males dominating most of the tech industries, and you are a C-suite executive. So I just want to find out what are some of the ways that you handle, you know, leading males, because it's one of the things that usually sometimes causes friction. It's as if women are too bossy, or women are too, when they are in such positions, how they handle it. And also, what are some of the ways that you've gone about leading the different people or personalities in your journey so far?
Yeah, so leading people involves a lot of emotional intelligence, and also trying to understand the people you are working with. I think one of the traps that a lot of us as women fall in is because there are a lot of men in the industry or in leadership positions, we kind of copy what they are doing and try to do it as women and lead like the men would do. But sometimes you have to know that the way that you lead might be different from the way that even another woman will lead, let alone another man will lead. So find how your temperament and how you get things done. For some people, based on their temperament, is when they want things done right now, and that is how they get people to do what they want to do. For some people, they might not be shouting, but they get the things done. You know how you get things done as a person, and you've learned it in your personal life. And it's up to you to develop that in leading people. And you do not necessarily have to copy directly from what other men have done. I think stay true to yourself. And I think also leading men, yeah, it comes with a lot of name calling. You would have people saying things about you or not respecting you because you're a woman, but they would respect a man. But these are things that you need to rise over. have a talk with the person, let the person know this is your position, and it's really about facts, it's about business. Whatever they think about women outside the business, they should be able to put it outside. So let's talk about the business and what needs to be done as a business, and let's keep it there. You don't have to be my friend, but I am your boss. So we just have to come to that understanding that this is it, this is work, this is how we are going to get it done. And it might be a difficult conversation. It's mostly a difficult conversation, but it's about learning that emotional intelligence of putting things as facts to the people and letting that rule over. I know some people will say women are emotional, but emotions are part of your leadership. Mm. But when you are presenting and you want a solution, use your emotions to get the facts across so that the person sees what you are talking about. But it doesn't mean that you don't have to be emotional or anything. That is you. But learn how, where emotions come in and where they don't come in, and when you should talk facts and when you should be emotional. So those are some of the nuances you have to learn. I know it's hard, but we have to do more work than a man would do in a leadership position.
Definitely, we'll have to be doing that as women. Before we wrap up this evening, we'd just like to quickly take the quick tech fixes. We'll be right back.
My name is Michelle Lejakum, and I bring you some tech quick fixes and tips here on Geek Squad. In the fast-paced digital era, social media, particularly Instagram, has become an inseparable part of our daily lives. While Instagram offers an engaging platform for sharing moments, it can also become a time-consuming habit. If you want to take a break from Instagram without going through the extreme step of deleting the app, here's a simple step-by-step guide to help you as an Android user. 1. Go to settings on your Android device. 2. Scroll down and select the digital well-being and parental controls option. 3. Find the Instagram app from the list of apps. 4. Tap on Set Timer or App Timer next to Instagram. 5. Choose your desired time limit by adjusting the sliders or entering a specific time. 6. Tap OK or Set to confirm and save the limit. Voila! You can now enjoy Instagram as well as other apps with greater control.
Welcome back. This is Geek Squad with your girl, Adebia Breachum. This evening, we've been having a conversation with Anne Nuchiklo. And so far, we have shared a lot about her journey, and she's really inspiring all of us. So, Anne, before we wrap up, this is just a quick question, and so just be wrapping up. What would be the advice that you have for young people and even people of your age about choosing to challenge themselves to get into the tech space? And then we'll use that to just wrap up our conversation.
Okay, so as a young person, or even as anybody who wants to get into tech, as you said, it's a challenge you have to put to yourself. I know New Year wasn't long ago, so we all had New Year resolutions. And sometimes we put up these big goals, and at the end of the day, we do nothing about it. So one day at a time. And tech is such a way that you need to be self-motivated and you need to learn a lot on your own. So one day at a time, what have you learned today